Ladies and gentlemen, this show is brought to you exclusively by the Reality Check Podcast Network.
Welcome, everybody, to the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. This is the review show of one of the most anticipated rivalries in the history of professional wrestling, AEW versus NXT, and we're bringing it to you RTW style. That means the most in-depth, cutting-edge coverage of the Wednesday Night War. Now, without further ado, here is your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois. Hey guys, welcome back to the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. This is your AEW versus NXT Wednesday Night War Show, episode number 28. I'm your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois. And, before we get the show started, I'm announcing this with a heavy heart. I'm sure most of you that are already are listening to this have already heard that aside from the major cuts we had from WWE on Wednesday. today on Thursday, as I'm recording this, the 16th of April, 2020, as if 2020 didn't suck enough, we lost a legend in the world of professional wrestling, the absolute very first ever employee of the WWF, now WWE, legendary Hall of Famer, greatest ring announcer of all time, Howard Finkel, passed away at the age of 69. Howard had not been in great health the last few years. I don't know what he passed away from. I don't know if it's been reported on. I mean, it really doesn't matter at this point, but that really sucks. I had a couple interactions with Howard on Twitter over the years, but I never got to meet him face to face. Never got to talk to him one on one. He was probably number one on my bucket list to speak with. Just the stories that he could tell from over the years, and such a knowledgeable person when it comes to sport of professional wrestling, especially WWE. That hurts. I don't even like talking about it. I'm still in shock. I haven't really fully processed it yet, and I'm sure on SmackDown and Raw, I mean, the coming week or so, we'll see tribute videos from him. But, man. Another one who's one of the voices of my childhood. Nobody introduced wrestlers the way he did. I mean, it's just, We all mimic him. We all do our own Howard imitation. I used to do it back when my best friend and I used to wrestle as kids. You know, in the late 80s. I do the ring announcing, and I'd always do my impression of Howard Finkel, and one of the greatest calls he ever had was, at least for me, was announcing Macho Man Randy Savage, the new WWE champion at WrestleMania 4. Excuse me. I'm not just choked up. I'm actually a little bit under the weather today. Stupid allergies. There's pollen everywhere. But excuse me if I clear my throat and cough a lot during the show. I'll try to edit out as much as I can. But getting back to Howard, his introduction at WrestleMania 4 after Macho Man won a tournament was just like any other time he introduced a new champion after that. the whole "and new" thing. I mean, that was just, it almost became one of his catchphrases, even though he's doing his job. he would do that pause sometimes, and then you hear the crowd do the "and new." But you know, I'm gonna do a couple of my favorite Howard impressions, like the WrestleMania 4 one. The winner of this contest and new undisputed World Wrestling Federation heavyweight champion, Randy Macho Man Savage. I used to do better as a kid, to be quite honest. I mean, it just, Howard was one of a kind, man. Ricky Steamboat was one of my favorites. Just the way he accentuated it. He put the accentuation on steam and then had a short boat. It was kind of funny. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. just Howard, man. I'm gonna miss him. Bret Hart was another one of my favorites. Coming down the aisle from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, weighing 234 pounds, Bret Hitman Hart. Just good God. I get chills, man. Just thinking about it. Like, the greatest names that came through the business. Coming down the aisle from Death Valley, weighing 328 pounds, The Undertaker. One of the greatest names and legends that ever came through the business, man. I mean, Howard introduced him. You know, just about every single Hall of Famer there is. It's quite remarkable. He will be sorely missed. Rest in peace. Thoughts and prayers go out to the entire Finkel family and all of his friends and coworkers that worked with him, past and present. It's just a tough day, you know, with all the stuff we got going on. This didn't make it any better.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Vampiro. This right here is the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. Tune in, get tuned up, get informed, and enjoy the podcast.
What's going on? You have John Wanglin, one of the hosts of Wrestling With Reality. Check out our shows this week on Wrestling With Reality. We have some great shows. We have our MMA show. We look at, is Khabib Nurmagomedov versus George St. Pierre a reality? Why John Jones is such a disgrace to the UFC? We also have on WCW Monday Nitro Watch Along, and we take a look back at Triple H in his 25-year career in the WWE. So check out Wrestling With Reality on all major podcast outlets.
Hey everyone, this is Stan Wangler from Just Thinking. Stop on by this week and listen to some of the great podcasts we have lined up for you. Two in particular are really good shows. One is called Are We Driving Ourselves Insane? Well, are we? And the next one is called Have You Been Having a Bad Day? Did you have a bad day? Well, if you did, this is the show for you. And I bet you, when you get done listening, you'll feel a lot better. So join us.
So completely unfortunate day and time that we're in, but we still got to talk about wrestling. So let's start with NXT right now. Here is what I thought about this week's NXT on USA.
You're so dumb.
NXT on USA coming to you from the empty Full Sail Arena in Orlando, Florida. We open the show with a recap of the end of the match last week between Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. Then we go to our first contest, which is the returning Finn Balor, which we haven't seen in the ring in, I don't know, a month or so, maybe longer. Not sure. It's hard to keep track of how long this has been now. But he took on Fabian Aichner from Imperium, which, you know, he's been feuding with Imperium for the last couple of months now. He went over to NXT UK before the whole travel ban and all that. And it looks like the program he was going to have with Walter has been put on the back burner. You know, I'm assuming Walter's over in the UK. But eventually that should happen at some point when things hopefully get back to normal here shortly. And he already fought Marcel Barthel in NXT UK, which they showed that match last week. I think it was last week. So he was taking on Fabian Aichner here in a pretty good match. Eichner's a pretty good wrestler. I really like Imperium. I like that whole gimmick. I thought these two will worked well together. Obviously, as I like to say, they had great chemistry together. And it was a pretty good match. Pretty hard-hitting match. Good to see Finn back on TV. The finish of the match, Finn hit Marcel with a sling blade. Then hit the shotgun dropkick, knocked him into the corner. Hit the coup de grace. And then the 1916 DDT for the pin and the win. Finn Balor gets a big win against Fabian Aichner from Imperium. After the match, Finn cut a promo on the ramp, told Walter that the victory served as a preview of what he's going to do to Walter whenever they face off. And then we cut back to Velveteen Dream laying on his couch waiting for the NXT champion Adam Cole to arrive. And then we get told that we're going to have an interview later from the new NXT Women's Champion Charlotte. When we come back for commercial, we get a match between Xia Li and Aaliyah. And 2 weeks ago, Xia Li got brutally attacked backstage in what looked like the Nancy Kerrigan attack from back in the 90s. If you guys don't understand that reference, fuck, I'm old. But it turns out that Aaliyah was the one who would attack Xia Li and took her out of the last qualifying match to get into the ladder match qualifier that they had for number one contender for the women's title last week, in which Io Shirai had won. So Aaliyah had announced before this match with Xia Li that she was the one that attacked Xia Li. It kind of payback for Xia Li breaking Aaliyah's nose several weeks ago. Not a long match. Xia Li immediately, once she found that info, she immediately went after Aaliyah, who quickly rolled out of the ring to escape. Li chased her around the ring. They got back in the ring where Aaliyah used the referee to shield and dropped Xia Li with a boot for a two count. Aaliyah then hit a Thez press, punched Li, mounted Li and punched her in the face several times. Locked in the rear chin lock. Xia Li then caught Aaliyah with a back elbow, dropped her with a clothesline and a super kick. Into a running shotgun dropkick. Xia Li then hit a twisting spin kick to a grounded Aaliyah for the pin and the win. After the match, we got a video package for the NXT Cruiserweight Interim Championship Tournament that is set to kick off on this show later on with Isaiah Swerve Scott taking on Akira Tozawa. The rules of the tournament are weird. It's almost like a soccer style tournament where each competitor there's two brackets. There's an A group and a B group, which that's completely soccer terms as well, or football, whatever you guys want to fucking call it. Each competitor in each group will face each other at least once, and then whoever has the most points at the end from each group will move on to face each other. And the reason for this tournament is because the current Cruiserweight champion, Jordan Devlin, I'm assuming is stuck back in the UK and can't wrestle. So while he is still champion, in the meantime, they're going to name an interim Cruiserweight champion, which it's going to create a little bit of controversy when the travel ban is lifted and everyone's allowed to move freely around the world. Jordan Devlin comes back. He's still got his belt. He's not happy, but he went on the bump, I think, and was very adamant about, you know, how much this is bullshit, and he is the champion, and he still has his belt. So we're going to run into almost a Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon scenario where Shawn got suspended because of a wellness violation, but still had his belt and refused to give it back. They had a tournament. Razor Ramon became the Intercontinental Champion, and then WrestleMania 10, we had the you know, one of the most famous ladder matches in history, the one that inspired, you know, the Hardys and Edge and Christian and the Dudleys to have their match. You know, Shawn and Razor had that epic ladder match with both Intercontinental titles held over the ring. So they could do that again. They could have a ladder match between Devlin and whoever the champion is and have both belts over the ring. Or, you know, I think when Devlin gets back, he's obviously going to wrestle whoever the Intercontinental or who the Intercontinental, who the interim Cruiserweight champion is, so they can have one undisputed Cruiserweight champion. I'm almost positive. I mean, you have to do that, right? It's, you know, but they've never named an interim champion before. It's so weird. It's such fucking weird times that we're living in. So we got back after that. We come back to Matt Riddle on the phone in the locker room, speaking with Pete Dunne, who Pete wouldn't tell Matt who his mystery partner was going to be in their tag team title defense later on against the Undisputed Era. Obviously, Matt Riddle is stuck overseas as well and can't defend his title. So Pete Dunne's going to have a secret mystery partner. And then we have our first match for the in the interim Cruiserweight Championship tournament. The opening round, Group B match. Again, Isaiah Scott taking on Akira Tozawa. Again, another kind of quick match. They exchange strikes on the apron before Tozawa knocked Scott to the floor. Tozawa grabbed him, and Scott leapt up and hit a head scissor takeover, kind of like a Hurricane Rana, off the apron to the floor. We go to commercial. When we come back, we see Isaiah applying a chin lock. Tozawa fights up, hits a back body drop to the floor. Tozawa signal for a suicide dive, but Scott moved. Akira gets on the apron, hits a cannonball senton to the floor. Tozawa landed on his head and looked like to be in some pain. It was pretty hard to watch. Tozawa threw Scott into the ring, hit a missile drop kick for a near fall. Tozawa fought up. Scott elbowed out. Tozawa flips through a back suplex before applying an octopus stretch. Scott powered out, but Tozawa caught him in a dragon sleeper. Scott fought out. Tozawa hits a guillotine. Scott powers him up, hits a brainbuster. Isaiah set up for his finisher, but Tozawa countered out. Scott soon took him down with a wild counter into a German suplex. Scott quickly connected with the house call for a near fall. Isaiah puts him in the corner onto the second rope. Tozawa kicked him back before hitting a belly-to-belly overhead suplex into the corner. Tozawa followed up with a jumping spin kick before going to the top rope. Then Tozawa hits a leaping senton splash for the win. So winner by pinfall and gets 1 point. He is 1-0, Akira Tozawa. We then get a video package for El Hijo del Fantasma, who looks a lot like Excalibur. He will be debuting in this Cruiserweight tournament next week. So, not sure where he's from, but looking forward to seeing how well he does in the ring. We then get a match between Tegan Nox and Raquel Gonzalez with Dakota Kai in her corner. Kind of a quick match. Nox quickly applied a waist lock. Gonzalez powered out. Gonzalez wrenched her arm, lifted her up before taking her down. Kind of just held her up for, you know, 5 or 10 seconds in the air, you know, with like a, how do I explain it? She put one hand underneath her, you know, underneath her armpit and had kind of a wrist lock on her, just powered her up and held her up in the air. It was pretty impressive. Gonzalez did it again, then hit a shoulder block. Gonzalez sent her into the ropes for a backbreaker. Knox ducked the clothesline, but Gonzalez caught her in the, on the rebound with the, in the back of the head. Gonzalez ripped at her hair before tearing her face. Gonzalez lifts her by the neck with both hands, but Knox tries to counter into a roll-up. Gonzalez quickly took her down and stomped her into the corner. Gonzalez whipped her hard into the corner. Knox chopped back, goes for an Irish whip. Gonzalez sent her back into the corner. Gonzalez then sends her to the opposite corner and blocks a boot as she ran in. Gonzalez put her on the ropes, started punching her. The referee was admonishing her when Dakota Kai kick knocks. Shotzi Blackheart ran down and attacked Kai with her helmet. Gonzalez angrily grabbed Blackheart and pulled her on the apron for a choke slam. Knox quickly rolled up Gonzalez with a distraction roll up for the win. We then had a video package chronicling Keith Lee's journey to the NXT, which I do want to play for you right now. So here is the limitless Keith Lee talking about his journey leading up until arriving in NXT.
My journey as the limitless one, it didn't start here in NXT. No. It started about 30 years ago. At the oh-so-tender age of 5, my grandmother, Mary Golden, introduced me to this sport. She would always talk about the Von Erichs and the Freebirds, but then she introduced me to Macho Man Randy Savage. Little did I know the influence he'd have on my career. 20 years old, made the decision to pursue this thing. My grandmother got me into it, my family. They didn't want me in it at all. My father despised the idea of me starting from the bottom. I dropped everything, including football. I took my keys and I stole my own car to drive 5 hours to work an event with Mick Foley. And I actually ended up getting kicked out of my house, homeless for a little bit. So when they talk about sacrifice, I have literally sacrificed everything to make this work. I got told no here, I got told no there. Too big, too different. You don't wrestle like us. After those 13 years, that journey, that grind, that work, look where you find me now. Finally, I came to the place where the world's best athletes are. And guess who stands out?
The evolution of sports entertainment, Limitless Keith Lee.
And a rivalry between Keith Lee and Dijakovic opened the eyes of the NXT universe. And I took that right into Survivor Series weekend. Now, there's something special in the air about the Limitless One.
The 2019 Breakout Star of the Year, Limitless Keith Lee.
Thank you for your passion, your pride, your love. And let me remind you, you ain't seen nothing yet. What better way to start off the year of 2020 than coming out and winning my first championship in WWE?
Keith Lee has become the NXT North American Champion!
Now everything's come full circle.
I'm seeing what Keith Lee is doing, but I cannot believe it. Make him proud, for sure.
Now, all of this could have gone one of two directions. One, give up. Two, grind and work harder and overcome. And that is what it means to be limitless.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy, the coach from the WWE. Now, there are very few wrestling podcasts out there that I like, but this one I love. I love the name, I love the personalities, I love the content. Follow, subscribe. I do. The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast, that's where you're at right here on the Reality Check Podcast Network.
Business with personality. That's the idea that launched London's business newspaper, City AM, 15 years ago. And it's the same idea that inspired our new daily podcast, The City View, where you'll find me, City AM editor Christian May, interviewing the most well-known, influential and colourful figures from business, politics and finance. The City View from City AM, with a new episode every morning. It's the perfect start to your working day.
Hey everyone, this is Sharon Waxman. I'm the founder and the editor-in-chief of The Wrap, the premier news source for daily coverage of the entertainment industry. I'm also your host of this new podcast, The Wrap-Up, a show that gives you an insider's look at the top stories in Hollywood. Each week, we'll bring you the latest news on the business of movies, TV, streaming, and tech. So be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you each week on The Wrap-Up.
Our next match is Dexter Lumis taking on Tahuti Miles. Tahuti Miles is getting some mileage lately, man. Working NXT, working Raw. The guy's getting around. Man, I still love this Dexter Lumis gimmick. I really do. He just has that just stalker, you know, just that death stare and just a really strange guy, you know, like I said, Dexter from the TV show, you know, like a serial killer stalker look. You know, Lumis was staring at Tahuti, and Tahuti's like, "Hey man, anybody home? Why are you staring at me?" It's kind of fucking funny. And then proceeded to get the shit beat out of him. This match went a couple minutes, to say the least. Lumis, he ran after Lumis, and Lumis ducked and just fucking nailed him in the back of the neck with the overhand right. It was pretty stiff. He just started beating him down. Lumis pulled him up by the hair, but Miles dropkicked him away twice. Miles uppercutted him, and he hit the ropes. When he came back on the rebound, Lumis hit him with a spine buster. After hitting a spine buster, Lumis slid around the canvas, stalking Miles. Then he pulled him up by the hair and hit out a sit-out Uranagi into a version of the Anaconda Vice for the win. He didn't hook the arm the way CM Punk did with the Anaconda Vice, so it's a version of it, or if he just forgot to hook it right. But either way, it's CM Punk's old finish, his original finish. So Dexter Lumis gets the win. Not much to say for the match other than, you know, just makes Dexter look really impressive, and hopefully he'll get a little push moving forward because I really dig the character. I really do enjoy it. I like it a lot. Adam Cole was supposed to show up to the show, and he didn't. Instead, he cut another video promo from his pool, which, I mean, I hate to say it. I'm sure Adam Cole's saying, I ain't fucking going there and getting sick. So y'all can deal without me because he's been cutting promos from his house for the last 3 weeks now. That's an indication of you know, Adam Cole not wanting to be there. Cole said that he hopes that stupid Velveteen Dream didn't think he was actually going to show up. They need to focus on reality. Dream will never get a title shot. The reality of the world is that there is nobody in NXT or WWE that deserves a shot at his title. They have a lot more to focus on. The Undisputed Era will focus on regaining what belongs to them by taking the NXT Tag Team Championship later on this show. So the Undisputed Era will be whole again. And then I want to play this next promo. It was Velveteen Dream's response to Adam Cole not showing up. They had a surprise waiting for him there. Someone that you wouldn't expect to be confronting him. Here's the Dream.
Typical. Typical Adam Cole. Typical of you to no-show the Dream tonight. You leave the Dream here all alone in this big old building, what, to play video games? It's obvious you were busy earlier today. I mean, you cut that video when the sun was still out. Do you think the Dream really is stupid? You really believe the words that come out of your mouth, Adam Cole? Because the Dream thinks a lot of you. The Dream thinks you fancy yourself some kind of a mastermind of the Undisputed Era. Adam Cole, you fancy yourself as the leader of the Undisputed Era. What the Dream knows you as is the last remaining champion of the Undisputed Era, Adam Cole. Arguably, the greatest NXT champion of all time, Adam Cole. Undisputedly, you are the longest reigning champion of all time, Adam Cole. But when it's all said and done, Adam Cole, the Dream wants you to remember two words, baby. Dream over.
I don't know you. I don't like you. And up until this point, I haven't said one single word to you. So this will be my first. When you talk about the greatest NXT champion of all time, you're looking at him. So be careful, because ignorant comments will get you a date with the prince.
A date with the prince? How about you be a gentleman, Finn, and pick the Dream up, let's say, next Wednesday night?
Interesting that Finn Balor showed up, maybe because Walter isn't going to be here anytime soon. I don't know if Dream's supposed to be a heel or a face. I mean, he's a babyface, but he's been acting real heelish. And we obviously know that Finn is a heel. So I guess Finn's going to play the heel in this. So it looks like we're going to maybe get Finn against Dream because Adam Cole isn't showing up. To my knowledge, I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure Dream and Cole were booked for NXT Tampa, TakeOver Tampa, which obviously didn't happen. And we've been having TakeOver matches on NXT. But if Cole's not going to wrestle, somebody has to. So we may get Finn against Dream in the meantime. I don't know. It's very interesting. That leads us to their main event for the NXT Tag Team Championship. The former champions, Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish, taking on Matt Riddle and his mystery partner, replacing Pete Dunne, who can't be there because of travel reasons, Timothy Thatcher. And I know what you're thinking. What the fuck is a Timothy Thatcher? He's an American-born wrestler. He made his debut in 2005. He wrestled mostly, for Evolve. That's, what you would recognize. He was there for about 6 years. And then got signed by WWE recently. They signed him to a developmental contract. I think they announced it on WWE Backstage a few months ago. So he was kind of a sought-after prospect. So, this guy was good, man. He really was. Missing a couple of his front teeth. But he's hard hitter, man. But he's 37 years old and not sure what kind of a shelf life he has, but he's a bigger guy than a lot of NXT guys. He's 6'3", he's about 230 pounds. And tough as nails, man. I mean, you want to have somebody replace Pete Dunne? This is the guy for it, man. This guy's pretty hard hitting and pretty brutal. So that being said, this is a really, really hard hitting, good match. I'm not the biggest Riddle fan. I don't mind him in the ring. I think he's a good wrestler, but I think his character and his promos fucking suck. And I'm going to play a clip after this match, of just how much of a goofball he is. Thatcher hit Strong and Fish with a pair of belly to belly side suplexes, started striking away at Strong, then viciously chopped Thatcher's chest. But Thatcher ended up hitting a step up in Enziguri. Thatcher went for a Fujiwara armbar, but Strong got to the ropes. Strong kicked him back and gave him a stiff forearm. Thatcher quickly slapped him in the face and took him down, hit him with a butterfly suplex. Fish distracted him. Strong kicked Thatcher in the head before tagging Fish in. Fish hits a running forearm for a near fall. Strong tags in. They double-team Thatcher for a near fall. Then they pause for a few and move awkwardly before Riddle shows up. I don't know if Riddle was knocked outside, knocked loopy for a while, and I don't know if he just missed his cue. But then Thatcher ended up applying the Fujiwara armbar to Roderick Strong for the submission and the win. Winners and still tag team champions, Matt Riddle and his temporary partner, Timothy Thatcher. Really, really good match. I don't know if they have the same chemistry together, they being Thatcher and Matt Riddle, but it was a good debut for Timothy Thatcher. I enjoyed what I saw. Guy's tough as nails, man. After the match, we got a promo with the retaining champions, which I want to play for you right now. So here are your NXT Tag Team Champions, Matt Riddle and Timothy Thatcher.
Matt Riddle, Timothy Thatcher, first I have to congratulate you on a huge victory tonight. But Matt, I have to ask you, how surprised were you to see that Pete Dunne had selected Timothy as your partner tonight?
Well, to be honest, I've been pretty sad without Pete. I miss his beautiful smile. I don't want to get into that. But when I heard that he announced Tim as my partner, it couldn't have been any better. A stallion like Tim came out, stepped up, and not only did he step up, he tapped out Roderick Strong and made sure that we remained the NXT Tag Team Champions. And I just wanted to say thank you. And I think Stallion Pete would agree. I think you deserve this.
I appreciate that very much, Mr. Riddle. Very much. I know how tough of a fighter you are. We might have shared a ring a couple of times, and I'm very grateful you're a partner, as goofy as you can be from some time. But I understand those titles are yours and Pete's. Now, he can't be here, so I'll happily team with you and defend those titles as long as Pete's not here. When he gets back, maybe we'll sort some stuff out. But until then, you hold on to that title, sir.
All right. I respect that. I like the cut of your jib. You know, it's a stallion move. And I'll be honest, you're a beautiful man, but you're not Stallion Pete beautiful. And that's not a knock. He's just a 10. You're like a 9.5. But nothing but respect and nothing but the best for us, bro. Come on. Come on. You like it.
You're all right, Riddle.
Hey, close enough. We'll get there. Take some time, bro.
Fuck me, Riddle's an idiot. Good Lord. At the end of the show, we were teased the entire show about Tommaso Ciampa making an announcement. So, again, I want to play that for you right now. Here is the loser of last week's match, losing to Johnny Gargano in what was supposed to be their final match. Here's your former NXT champion, Tommaso Ciampa.
I'm done with this. I'm done with you, Johnny. I'm done with Candace. I'm done with all of this. We agreed. When it's over, it's over. Whoever wins, wins. Johnny, you and Candace, y'all showed the world. So congratulations, Johnny Gargano. You are the better man. You what?
That's a quick 2-minute thing. I don't know what Ciampa was going to say, but is it Ciampa or Ciampa? I always call them both, and it's weird. Whatever comes to mind, I guess that's what I'm going to call him. I thought Tommaso was going to make some kind of an announcement, possibly about retiring. I don't know. But he did say that it was over between him and Gargano. Is it Gargano or Gargano? Fuck me, man. I really got, you know, you think I'm going to review this shit every week, I would learn how to say their names. Tommaso obviously got attacked, pulled away, dragged away from the camera. We hear him getting the shit beat out of him. Then we see a pair of black boots stand near Ciampa's head. And then we see a female feet as well. Killer Cross shows up finally after all the little vignettes of the whole TikTok bullshit. Which he's being called Karrion Kross now. That was announced. They already have a t-shirt ready for him, and it's his NXT name will be Karrion Kross, K-A-R-R-I-A-N, I believe. So obviously they're not using Killer Kross, but everybody knows who he is. And he bent down to the Ciampa's ear, who was laying there unconscious, and said TikTok. So there you go. Killer Kross and his wife, Scarlett Bordeaux, were about to make their appearance. And I wonder if they're still going to call her Scarlett Bordeaux. A strong debut for Killer Kross attacking Ciampa like that. Looking forward to it. They were the ones in the car last week when I had mentioned after Gargano and Candice LeRae were walking out victoriously, there was a car there with two people in it, and I couldn't tell who they were, and I knew it was a man and a woman. And I'm like, that's fucking weird. That's awkward. So yeah, it was Bordeaux and Killer Kross. So I thought NXT was pretty good this week. Looking at a poll, looks like one of the polls I saw, 65% of people gave this a thumbs up and 35% gave it a thumbs down. So, and head-to-head, 57% of people enjoyed NXT over 43% of Dynamite. But I'll let you know what I thought about Dynamite here in a second, but I thought this was really a good showing, a good NXT show. Good to have Finn Balor back. Strong main event with the tag team match. Convoluted scenario with now Finn Balor, you know, talking about Walter at the beginning of the show and then confronting Velveteen Dream. It just, I don't know where they're going to go with that. But I like Dexter Lumis. I thought the women's match was, yeah, it was all right. I don't think Tegan Knox is very good, but and the Cruiserweight Championship interim Cruiserweight, whatever the fuck, it's they're putting on good matches. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that tournament plays out over the next few weeks.
Hey guys, it's me, Santino Marelli. Today I'm going to give a little bit shout out to the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. Ninja Turtles were not real. And it's on Reality Check Podcast Network. Well, Reality Check, Ninja Turtles were not real. Trust me, I went in the sewer myself. I got trapped, police department came, fire department, long story. So check out the podcast. Because what else are you going to do? Check out Rad Turtles Wrestler. It's fun to say Rad Turtles. Son of my God. In fact, the Turtles chocolate candy, that's my mother's favorite candy. So that's something positive.
So there you go. That's what I thought about this week's NXT. Here's what I thought about this week's AEW Dynamite. AEW Dynamite coming to you on a close set from an undisclosed location. As we have for the last couple of AEW Dynamites, we have led off with a promo from Jake the Snake Roberts, which I do want to play for you right now. So here is Jake the Snake Roberts and his client, the Murder Hawk Monster, Lance Archer.
You know, when this whole thing came about, man, TNT coming up with this championship and wanting to put somebody out there in front, I think it was made for us. And I'll tell you why. They would love to have a Lance Archer out there in front. You want to take something to a party, take him into the party. Everybody's going to look. Everybody's going to bow down. When he walks into a place, he commands attention. Lance was made for this. In our minds, that championship belt is a bone. Do you really want to come try to take this bone away from that dog? Lance is going to enjoy this. Because each time he wins, he knows he's going to be getting a little bit closer to what we want. Well, Colt Cabana, I've watched you for years, hell. I know what you're capable of. And you got some stuff, but not near good enough. You look at Lance Archer, 275 pounds of raw steel, man. He's got an attitude. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He was pushed out of this country, man, and forced to go to Japan just to make a damn living. And he's pissed off.
Whoa! God, I've been wrestling a long time. I've seen him around the world. I am prepared for this man, no matter how big, no matter how tough.
He's got something none of you people have. He's a friggin' animal. Listen to me or regret it. It's your choice.
Man, I love Jake. I really do. He's so good. We got a video package after this of Colt Cabana and his career trajectory. Cabana said that Archer dominated Japan, but that he himself, Cabana, was dominant in Japan, China, Australia, and all over the world years before Archer. I think that's hilarious. He said his track record was just as good or better than Lance Archer's. Colt said that he isn't looking past Archer because he is a big, bad dude, but he has wrestled other big, bad dudes, and he has beaten them. Cabana said that all he's thinking about right now is the TNT Championship, and he's gambling on himself. So our first opening match is Colt Cabana taking on Lance Archer. Pretty good match. And Colt's a big dude, and Lance Archer has been having his way with, you know, smaller guys like Marco Stunt, whoever the fuck the other dude was that he wrestled last week, some enhancement talent. But, you know, this was the first, I don't know, say challenge that Lance has had from a bigger guy. And Colt Cabana has 3-0 so far in his AEW career. but Lance pretty much has way with him. He really did. Archer hit him with his blackout finisher, which is kind of like a inverted or reverse razor's edge. It's a pretty impressive move. And Colt's a big guy. And I didn't think Archer was going to be able to get it on him, but he did. We then get a video package from Britt Baker talking about being a role model, which I want to play for you right now. So coming off her broken nose from last week from Sheeta, is your resident dentist of AEW. Here's your resident dentist from AEW, Britt Baker.
The rules of being a role model. Rule number one, always fight fair. A crucial component of being a role model, yet one sadly we don't always observe. Take last week, for example, when my opponent, clearly threatened by me, took to desperate, disgusting, and dangerous tactics. I felt the immediate burning in my skull and the blood pouring uncontrollably from my face. Yet still, I continued to valiantly fight with an excruciating, deviated septum. Mind you, I did this all without my usual admiring, dedicated fans chanting and cheering me, encouraging me to continue. No, it was all me. Me and my own grit, passion, and dedication to always be the face of this women's division. So, really, who's the true winner here?
So throughout this show, they were having different reporters and wrestlers and celebrities kind of giving their sound bites on who they think are going to win the Jake Hager and John Moxley match. So our first one was MMA reporter Ariel Helwani talking about the match, and he predicted that Hager was going to win. And then we saw Taz, who predicted that Mox is going to win. Taz then broke down Hager's arm, his triangle finisher, his submission hold. So it's another nice touch that AEW is trying to add to these empty arena shows. I thought it was cool. Kind of had like a big fight feel, even though there's nobody around to see it. We then get the aforementioned Britt Baker taking on Cassandra Golden. I have no idea who she is. Baker kicked Golden, went in for a lockup, laid her out with a super kick. Baker hung Golden up in the ropes, posed for the camera, taunting Golden, choked Golden. Hits with a curb stomp on the bottom rope for the pin. Not much of a match. We then get MMA commentator Mike Goldberg, who's from Bellator, predicting that Jake Hager will win. Then we see Ron Funches, comedian and actor, predicting that Mox will retain his title. It's confirmed that Double or Nothing will go on as planned on May 23rd. Not sure where that, what arena that was booked at, or if they're going to have to move it to wherever they are now, but pretty bold saying that a little bit over a month from now that we're going to have an actual pay-per-view with a crowd. I don't see it happening, but hopefully we do. We'll see. There is a call to action from the White House for sports and allowing people to get back to work. So we then get a video segment called The Bubbly Bunch, which obviously is a playoff the Brady Bunch TV show from the 60s and 70s with the Inner Circle, which I want to play for you now because it's really funny. Here is the Bubbly Bunch.
Yeah, what's good, boys? Chilling, chilling. Yo. Before we pop into one of our conversations where we seem to figure out all the world's problems and then somehow forget them. I don't even know how that always happens. I had a few things I wanted to get off my chest. What's good with this dude, Matt Jackson, bro? Walking around always holding Nick's hand. How do you expect a man to learn and get through life if you're always going to hold his hand? And then he tried to protect him so much, he ended up exactly like him. Wrecked. Yeah. And then he's going around dressing like that Loquito from 125th and Lennox. Ortiz, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Loquito from 125th? Of course I know who you're talking about. Carlos, dog. But I'm going to have to challenge you on that. I think Nick is the Carlos out of the two. He's definitely the Loquito out of both of them. I mean, come on, dog. Merch freak? There's definitely something going on there. But I've been really watching how Nick has been behaving lately, especially after we smashed in his head with that gate. He's trying to be like Sammy.
You know, I think you're right. I think he is jacking my stuff. They're all kind of jacking my stuff, if we're being honest. But, can you guys believe what Matt said about me? He called me a fake Ladino. Can you believe this? Coming from the guy, which I have no idea what version of him we're even on. Is this version S for version stupido? You know what I'd do to him? If I was in the ring with him, I'd beat him up cinco times. Watch this, guys. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, 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 cinco. Woo! That's what I'd do to him. Just like you, Jake, would beat up Kenny. Am I right?
Sammy, you're absolutely right. And you know what? I would punish Kenny Omega, and I would choke out the entire elite at Blood and Guts. But more importantly, earmuffs, kids. I'm gonna beat the shit out of Jon Moxley and become your new AEW champion. Ain't that right, Painmaker?
Oh yeah, I get it, Jake. You know why? Because you're the only undefeated pro wrestler and MMA fighter in the world today. You are going to Boxley in the fat head of Jon Moxley and become the new AEW world champion, right? Huh? Oh, by the way, how sexy does Sammy Guevara look today?
Muy sexy.
Exactly, and that's no joke. But here's a joke for you. What do you call an idiot who's been missing for weeks and likes horses? Hangman Page, right? Exactly. I haven't seen him in so long. I'm almost wondering if Cody Exotic took care of him and fed his remains to Pharaoh, right? Listen, the bottom line is this. The Inner Circle is going to kick the crap out of the Elite at Blood and Guts when we're ready to have it. And when we do, we're going to have a new bit of the bubbly. All right, guys, I got to go. I got my assistant on the other line. We'll talk tomorrow. Okay, bye. I still don't have any toilet paper. Can you find me some?
Hey everyone, this is Vicky Guerrero, and you're listening to the Reality Check Podcast Network. Excuse me!
Hager. Hager tells them, earmuffs, you know, like you did to your kids, so they put their hands over their ears so you can cuss and swear so they can't hear you. So they all cover their ears and said he was going to kick the shit out of all the Elite. Pretty funny stuff. I loved it. I think Jericho was hilarious too. It was good stuff. It really was. And obviously, Sammy Guevara is the best ever. Speaking of Sammy Guevara, he is taking on Shug D. I know what you're thinking. What the fuck is a Shug D? Apparently, Shug D. And this is why we needed. This is why we needed Excalibur to tell us. But I did some research. Shug D is Sugar Dunkerton from Chikara. Sure, he's a legend, just like the fucking deathmatch legend, whatever the fuck his nuts is that they hired a few weeks ago. Oh boy, they're using a lot of scrubs on these shows lately. I'm just saying, there's a lot of wrestlers that aren't there that probably don't want to wrestle, so they're having a lot of enhancement talent and a lot of well, you know, what they call new signings, but. Yeah, Sammy G hit him with the fucking modified GTS for the pin. It wasn't much to talk about. I mean, Sammy G is the best ever. I could break down his match, you know, at length, but it's just not worth it. I mean, Sammy G can beat anybody in the company, and they put him against some kind of a jobber. I mean, it's obvious who's going to win the match to begin with, because he is a Spanish god. So, yeah, your winner via pinfall. Sammy Guevara. Sammy got in the microphone after the match and said he's going to give us a spoiler for the first round of the TNT tournament. He said Sammy Guevara is going to beat the shit out of Darby Allin. A lot of shit on this show. Guevara then said that he's going to give us a sneak peek of what he's going to do and starts beating on Shug some more. That was kind of funny. Darby Allin then ran out and chased Sammy G off. We didn't get Bellator referee John McCarthy predicting that Hager is going to win tonight. Do you notice a trend that everybody that from Bellator where Hager fought is predicting him to win? And goofy ass fucking Excalibur from home predicted that Mox is going to win. We then get Superbad, Kip Sabian with Penelope Ford, taking on Chuck Taylor from the Best Friends with Orange Cassidy. This match is all right. I'm a big fan of both guys, although I do like Trent Reznor more, but I do like Kip Sabian a lot, and I think he's a good wrestler. But yeah, this match is all right. I'm telling you, man, when these shows are on a level playing field and there's no crowd there to hype anything up, NXT are putting on better shows. They really are. I hate to say it, but it's true. And I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm not trying to be a WWE homer. But Dynamite's for the last couple of weeks have kind of sucked, to be quite honest. So at the end of the match, Jimmy Havoc was at ringside. He had enough of Orange Cassidy kind of, I wouldn't say interfering, but distracting Kip Sabian. Havoc pulled Orange Cassidy off the apron and hit a sick fisherman's DDT on the floor. I thought he fucking killed him with this. Penelope Ford then, as the referee was distracted, she hit a diving Hurricane Rana on Chuck Taylor behind the referee's back, and Kip Sabian rolled him up for the pin and the win. Your winner, Kip Sabian, over Chuck Taylor. They then showed a clip of Sean Spears pinning Billy Gunn on AEW Dark, because everyone's watching that. Then we get the debut of Justin Law versus Sean Spears. Yeah, you can't make this up. Spears tossed Law around for a few minutes, just kind of toying with him. He then offered to get down an amateur wrestling position, like a referee's position, they call it, for Law. Law rolled him up quickly for a near fall. Spears then elbowed Law in the face and goes to town on him with chops. Just chopped the fucking snot out of him. Spears then killed Law with a short arm lariat, followed by the C4 for the pin and the win. That leads us to our main event for the AEW World Championship, a no-holds-barred empty arena match, because every goddamn arena is empty, so I don't know why they had to make this a fucking, stipulation. But this is really odd. They had teased during the entire show that Jim Ross would commentate this match. Jim Ross was not there for this show, and he hasn't been there for the last few weeks. This week was Jericho and Tony Schiavone on commentary again. Love fucking Jericho on commentary. And he, again, and Tony's always great as well, but these two work well together. Jericho, man, I'm telling you, I think people aren't going to want Excalibur and Jim Ross to come back, or at least not fucking Excalibur. They're going to want Jericho on commentary every week. Him and Tony are doing great stuff. But this match actually was coming to you from, and they didn't say it, but it was Daly's Place. It was the outdoor amphitheater in Orlando where they've had, they taped a couple Dynamites, a few weeks back, and had, two pay-per-views there or so. They've been to Daly's quite a bit. And like I said, it's outdoor amphitheater, and you can tell just by the way the set was, with the steps that they had, and just, it was darkened, but you can tell the outline of the arena. You can tell it was Daly's Place. And Jim Ross was there doing commentary. So when did I'm assuming they filmed this, 3-4 weeks ago when they were doing tapings from there. They just taped a whole bunch of shit, and they knew they were going to do this in like a month or so. I can't imagine them all going there this week and recording this and taking down the set or having two sets. I don't know. It was fairly obvious that it was from Daly's Place. And Jim Ross was there. So maybe he knew he was taking some time off and he wanted to get this match in. I don't know. It's just very, very weird. They didn't do it wherever else they had been recording from, this empty warehouse or whatever. But anyway, a lot of people did not like this match, but I actually did. It was pretty slow. It was kind of plodding, but I think it fit their styles. They're both grapplers and brawlers, if that makes sense. They both kind of have similar styles, and they're now calling John Moxley the Death Rider, which is fucking hilarious. But these guys just beat the fuck out of each other, man. resembled the Edge and Orton's Last Man Standing match a little bit, just based on the length of the match and the pacing of the match. It was quite a long match. It was probably about 32 minutes or so. But it was just really, it was a fight. It really was. It was a fight. Even though it was in the ring, they still beat the shit out of each other. And it was no holds barred, so there weren't any disqualifications. Go out of your way to watch this match. I'm serious. You can see the highlights on the AEW YouTube channel for a condensed version. But I really, really liked this match. And for those of you that didn't, thought it was too slow, didn't like the pace of it, sorry. I mean, obviously, you know, your regular NXT fans are not going to enjoy something like this, which is kind of good that the crowd wasn't there. Because, you know, this is more of a mat base, just pound the fuck of each other and not flip-flop and fly. So I liked it. People are saying Jake Hager sucks because of this. No, I don't think so. I think this is one of my favorite matches he ever had. But in the end, Hager deadlifted Moxley up in the air. Moxley broke it. Both men exchanged elbows. Hager kneed Mox right in the ball bag. Moxley got pissed off, threw a chair at Hager's face. Then hit him with the paradigm shift onto the chair for the pin and the win after the match. And there's a lot of swearing in this match, too. They had to bleep out a lot of stuff, especially from Moxley. But then Moxley even said something after the match to the referee, like, right in the balls, man. He hit me right in the balls. It's just funny. It's fucking hilarious. But Moxley is your AEW World Champion, giving Jake Hager his first defeat. So yeah, there's Dynamite. Not a great show. I like the video packages. I like the main event. Other than that, meh. This show kind of sucked, and it has sucked for the last couple of weeks. I'm not bashing them. I mean, I'm not trying to bash. I hate that. I mean, yeah, I guess I bashed them by saying it sucked, but I didn't enjoy it. But they're still entertaining us. They're still putting on shows just like WWE are. So I have to give AEW credit. And especially now that WWE has been named an essential business, and to my knowledge, AEW hasn't. Kind of a dick move by Florida. So will AEW lobby to record, you know, or have live shows back again to Florida, maybe from dailies? Yeah, I hope so. They should. But yeah, let's get to the numbers here. NXT outdrew AEW Dynamite for the second week in a row. So like I said, when there is a level playing field and NXT looks like a slicker, smoother show based on being from Full Sail and it's presented better and there's no crowd to hype it up, there's no obnoxious NXT or AEW crowd, especially AEW crowd. When they're in a level playing field, NXT is going to look like a bigger show. This week, NXT averaged 692,000 viewers, down 1,000 from last week. AEW averaged 683,000, down from 692 last week. So they lost, so AEW lost 9,000 viewers from last week. Not a big deal, but still, they still lost, if you want to say head-to-head in the ratings. But obviously, in the touted 18 to 49 demo, Dynamite came on top. Drew a .25 rating, good for 29th best on cable. NXT drew a .17 for 58th best on cable for that day. But head-to-head in the average viewers, NXT wins again. And AEW fans are making excuses for it. There is no excuse, right? Oh, but we won the demo. That's all that matters. That only matters, you know, when they lose. But either way, both shows are entertaining us. Both shows are still going out there and trying to do what they can to give something to you and I. I'm sorry. If I didn't have a lot of enthusiasm during this review, I'm really, really hard hit by Howard Finkel. I grew up in Connecticut. I've been a WWF lifer my entire, obviously since I was 11 or 12 years old. Just it sucks. That's one of those guys, man, that just hits you hard. So I apologize if my enthusiasm and energy was a little bit down during this show, but I can't shake it. I didn't know him, but I felt like I knew him. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of these guys are my family. Like, they've been in my living room or in my bedroom or in my house for 30 plus years. And Howard, man, Howard was just, he's always there. He's there from day one. And I missed the hell out of him when he wasn't announcing anymore. But every WrestleMania, he would come back and do the Hall of Fame announcements. And he even stopped doing that. And, we got to see him on Legends House, and he wasn't in great shape then. But it was still good to see him. And he just kind of went off the grid last few years. Fucking sucks, man. Really does. So there you go, guys. That is your Wednesday Night War wrap-up. You can follow me on Twitter at RadRobGaming. Check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/RadRobGaming, streaming every Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Central, every Sunday afternoon at 2 in the afternoon. And check out my YouTube gaming channel called RadRobGaming. If you want to tweet the show, give us a follow. It is at RadTurtlesPOD. Send us an email, RadTurtlesWrestling@gmail.com, Facebook.com/RadTurtlesWrestling. Leave us a like there. And check out our company website, rcpodnetwork.com. Has all of our show links and bios and everything you want to know about all of us here at the Reality Check Podcast Network. So once again, that is rcpodnetwork.com. And check out our other shows on the network. There's something, literally something for everybody. It's not just wrestling. There's life advice. There's paranormal shows. There's wrestling shows. There's the Road to Redemption. Heartwarming stuff from that. And all of our shows are fantastic here on the Reality Check Podcast Network. I have a special bonus show dropping for you tomorrow on Friday, the 17th of April, 2020. A special interview I had with the head booker, owner, promoter, and wrestler from Pro Wrestling Mid-South, the Golden Boy, Greg Anthony. And if you're not sure who he is, you will know. I mean, the guy is very, very entertaining. He's very, very smart. Such a great mind for the business. Never really got his break on the big scale, but I think he's absolutely happy doing what he does now. And shoots on NWA owner Billy Corgan, which you definitely want to check out. So, again, that's my interview I had with Pro Wrestling South's Greg Anthony, the Golden Boy. Such a gracious guy to give me some of his time. So you guys will definitely enjoy the interview. I always bring you quality interviews with quality people. Sans one time, probably the worst interview of my life. I won't name names, but other than that, even if you haven't heard some of these guys, after listening, you guys have an appreciation for them. So that's what I try to do. I try to bring you the absolute best that I can, especially during these times when everything sucks. But that's dropping tomorrow. And then obviously after that, I'll be back on Saturday for the flagship. So thanks for listening, guys. I appreciate our support. Hope everybody's happy and healthy and doing well. One piece of advice before I wrap up here. Take care of your loved ones. Text your friends. Talk to somebody you haven't talked to in a while. Reach out to them. Just let somebody know that you're thinking about them, because you never know when they're going to be gone. Like Jim Ross says, our tomorrows are never guaranteed. So try to be thankful for what you have and who you have in your life, because you never know. You never know what's going to happen. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. I appreciate all of you. I love all you guys. See you tomorrow for the interview with Greg Anthony, and then back here on Saturday for the flagship. Take care, guys. Thanks for listening to this edition of the RTW Wednesday Night War podcast. Once again, you can tweet the show at RadTurtlesPOD or send us an email, RadTurtlesWrestling@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We appreciate all of your support. You've been listening to the RTW Wednesday Night War podcast, only here on the Reality Check Podcast Network.